The Lord is here. He calls us by name. Let us come into his presence and worship. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us, we especially extend a warm welcome to you and encourage you that if you'd like to know more about our church and opportunities, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you. There should also be a prayer card in there. If you need any prayer concerns to be shared, or if you have anything you'd like to celebrate and share with this church body, Our deacons are a praying group. We also have a prayer team that meets every Sunday morning. And this morning we want to remind you of one of those prayer opportunities in the week. Every Thursday at 11 o'clock here in this first little room that you come to when you come through the doors, there is a group that gathers for praise and prayer. We meet for about 30 minutes, so it doesn't interfere anybody's lunch plans too terribly. You're welcome to bring lunch with you if you're a working person and you need to be very mindful of your time and schedule. But we simply sit down together. We look at a passage of scripture, or lately we've been going through learning about various thinkers throughout Christian history and their contribution and how they relate to scripture. And then we spend a time lifting up the names and the people of our church from our prayer list. It's a great way, and if you to recharge in the middle of the week. And if you've read your newsletter already, you know it's a great way to sleep tight, as we said in that article. Also want to remind you that immediately following the postlude after today's worship service, there is a called roundtable. Roundtable is our business meeting. And we're going to vote today on a new minister of children and music, and it's a very exciting opportunity. Many of you from the choir and some others have met Gay Collins, who is our candidate. She's a wonderful person. There is a little biography about her out in the vestibule. If you didn't see that already, you're welcome to run out during the postlude and grab one. But we ask that members after the service, if you would stay so that you can hear a report on her and have an opportunity to express your sense of God's will for this church. If you're a visitor, you can stay as well, but we understand too if you want to slip out during the postlude today. As we worship and celebrate, I invite you to even now begin thinking about the obstacles in your life. What challenges you? What are you afraid of today? What do you dread as you even now are probably sitting thinking about Monday's coming, Tuesday? What projects are on those back burners just waiting for you? What stacks have piled up on your desk? What chores are there that just haunt you as you think about another week, another opportunity to be challenged? And then think about this. God is in control. As we continue to worship, we invite you to hear our opening scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verses 19 through 14. One who is slack in work is close kin to a vandal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their strong city. In their imagination, it is like a high wall. Before destruction, one's heart is haughty, but humility goes before honor. If one gives answer before hearing, it is folly and shame. The human spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? Would you pray with me? Lord, as we call upon your name in this place and seek you here, some of us seek with broken spirits. The work week and a week of caring for grandchildren and children and running people here and there and all the stress and demands of life can break us down. But you are the God of life and life to the full. We seek you in this place and call on your name. Lord, meet us here. Not that you are not here, but that we are often not aware of you. Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds. And as we struggle through this life, here in this place and in this hour of worship, remind us that soon and very soon you will return. Soon you will make all things bright and new. Soon you will fix all the wrongs and right all the mistakes. Soon you will bring peace and life everlasting. Soon your kingdom will come and your will be done, just as Christ taught us when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, would you stand together as we sing our hymn of praise soon and very soon. Today, instead of our normal children's sermon, invite Denise Carroll to come up, and she's going to share a little bit about Vacation Bible School, which will be here before you even know it. Denise?
Well, it's hard to believe, but Vacation Bible School actually starts 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I wanted to talk to everybody. First of all, I want to say thank you for all of those who have been willing to help. And I want to encourage everybody to make sure that you, if you have children, if you have neighbors, friends, family members, to go ahead and get them registered. That way we can know how many to plan for. You can register online. If you go to our website, you can register directly online or download a form to return to the office. And just continue to pray. We're really excited about it, and we really appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
I want to add, too, that Denise has done an incredible job of getting the word out. There are flyers that have been passed around at pools and different clubs all throughout town. There's been cards that have been sent out. But at the end of the day, what makes a VBS strong is when the members of the church personally invite others. That's what we're counting on. That's what the whole thing depends on, that if we want to see children receive the wonderful messages and experiences that are being prepared by the Lord for them, it comes down to us inviting those families that we know who have children so that they can be a part of it. So I want you to go ahead and lock that in your brain. This is not optional. This is a requirement for membership in this church. That you will go out and you will invite some families to Vacation Bible School. Let us think about that as we continue to worship, as we offer to the Lord the best of what we have. Our offertory hymn is The Servant's Song. Would you please stand?
Help me, Father, of the body. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your many blessings to us. Oh Lord, we thank you for your abundant love and grace that you so freely give to us. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you today, we pray that you will bless them and use them for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
O Lord, we pause, each of us, in silence, that we might make our confession to you. Hear our prayer. Lord, it is easy for us to be quitters in our faith, quitters in our dedication, quitters in our commitment. We face such great obstacles when serving you and when following you, and it is not easy to be disciples. Sometimes it seems like it would just be easier to step back or step aside, let others carry the burden, let others climb the wall. Let others lead the charge. Well, we confess that what we're really saying is we struggle with faith in you, in your godly ability to do all things through us that you purpose to do. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us when we become the stumbling block on someone else's path. Lord, we trust and lean on your forgiveness. And we believe in your words that you tell us that as far as the east is from the west, that you remember our sins no more, that you are faithful and just, that not only do you forgive us, but you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's in the confidence of your mercy that we approach you in prayer. And we approach you, God, to lift up those who are also struggling and stumbling and giving up, those who are on the verge of throwing in the towel. We pray for them. Strengthen your people. Not only comfort them, but strengthen them and give them boldness in life. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with cancer and disease and sickness, and it's one trip to the doctor after another, and we know how frustrating that must be. We pray that you would comfort and heal them. Your peace and presence surround them. We pray for those who can't be here today. They're either sick or they're shut in or they're homebound or they're in an assisted living facility somewhere. And Lord, their hearts must just long to be back in the house of the Lord, but they cannot. Would you be with them? Not only you in the spirit, but in the flesh, send your people out to those we know who need a word of encouragement and a kind visit. We lift up, Lord, to you all the churning that is going on in our world today, where it seems we are more divided than ever before. Heal our land and heal this broken and twisted world. Make it straight again. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, we hear our second word of scripture for today, beginning in verse 3. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into the hearts of to our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We celebrate our sufferings. Let us pray together. God, here as we gather, we ask that you would open our minds and hearts to your voice. Whisper softly and yell loudly as we need it. Speak to us where we are, so that we may leave where you are. Change us and transform us by the power of your word. And as we wrestle with your scripture, we pray that it would overcome us and subdue us, and that you would win. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you here are comic book fans. A lot of guys are, but more and more girls are. Some of you maybe grew up collecting comics of different kinds, and I brought some that if you've ever been in my office, these are the ones behind the door, and maybe you've wondered about them, because they're not particularly valuable comics. They're old, but they're not really worth much. So why put them in a frame and hang them on your wall in your office?
Well, today I'll explain it to you. These are all different types of Marvel comics. Here's one that's Iron Man. Iron Man and Thor were my favorite as a kid. And here's Iron Man. It says the Invincible Iron Man. And there's this picture of this big metal dude, and he's saying, "You're a dead man, Avenger." And as you can see, it doesn't look like Iron Man's doing too well, does it? That's the hook they always like to put on comics. And here his heart's exploded, and he's falling to the ground, and he says, "Too bad you couldn't match up to the power of Ramrod." You know, this is stuff kids love. Still am a kid, I guess. Here's another Iron Man. You begin to see a pattern here. Iron Man is falling into a pit of something that doesn't look too hospitable. And the caption says, "Even heroes die." Even heroes die. I'm not as old as these comics, by the way, just to make sure I clarify that. You know, here's one from my other favorite, Thor. It's Abandoned on Earth. And in it, Thor is defeated and beat up and bruised up. He loses all of his strength and powers, and he's left for dead here on Earth. Maybe somebody feels like that every now and then. And then here's the final one, another Thor. It shows a big old picture of Thor, beaten up, bruised, left to die. And the caption on this one says, "And so to die." So what's the common theme in all of these? The common theme in every one of these is that the hero loses. What kind of a little boy wants to read the comic where the hero loses? In each one of them, the hero is beaten up, he loses the battle, and he's left for dead. And it's over, right? That's the end of the comic? Well, they're still writing these comics, aren't they? As a kid, the reason I loved these is because I could identify with that kind of person who loses, who doesn't win the day, who is left in a bloody heap at the end of whatever struggle it might be. And I suspect that you are very much like that, that you could identify far more easily with the person who is defeated and loses and gets beat up and left for dead than you can with, say, the invincible Superman, who never loses, who always wins, who nothing seems to hurt. And yet these comics, just like Spider-Man or so many others, the reason they resonate with us is because precisely the fact that not only did the hero lose, but didn't give up. There's always a next edition, isn't there? There's always a next episode. I used to love watching the Batman show that came on. It's from like the 70s. And they would always end it in a cliffhanger at a commercial and say, "Will Batman get out of this jam?" Well, he was losing, but then he turned it around and made the best of it. What do these people have in common? Their stories having this in common, that they could take the bumps and take the bruises and take the hits and take the defeats, but then pick themselves up, brush it all off, and just keep moving forward again, trying once more. The only reason these stories are interesting is because we know people like this, don't we? We might not know someone who fought anything quite as interesting as Ramrod, whoever that is. But these stories stick with us because they are a reflection of our own lives. They are a glimpse into, an amplified glimpse, but a glimpse into the people we admire and love and respect. The stories, the great stories of history, tend to be those of the people who lost but then turned things around. We don't really get all that impressed with people who were born wealthy and made even more money and had everything handed to them, and so everything worked out. Everything was like turned to gold when they touch it. It just seems like they're favored because they are. That story is, we're happy for them, but it's not too impressive to us. But think about the stories from history that stick with you. It's the person who came from nothing. And somehow they were able to pull themselves out of the slum, or to be the first one educated in their family, or to achieve a high office even though they had no rights to it by birth. Those people who overcome the obstacles, even in the face of one failure after another. Those are the people that I think of when I read the 23rd Psalm, which might sound strange to you. The difference between successful people and failures is not a lack of failure. Here's a word I want to tell you that maybe no one ever told you growing up. Maybe your mom said, you know, you can do anything. Maybe you were told that you can always succeed. But the reality is every single one of us is a failure. We all fail. We might not fail at everything, but we're going to fail at something the first time. We might fail at it the first 10 times. We might not ever actually accomplish what we wanted the way we wanted to, and so we might see that as failure too. But the difference between a failure and a success is a success takes the lessons from the failures. And they say, how do I move through? How do I walk through this? How do I move forward? How do I move on? The 23rd Psalm, these words that you hear so often, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the King Jimmy version, by the way. That's the one that we hear where so often. We hear it where? At a funeral. Which is absolutely fascinating, because the more we learn about the 23rd Psalm, the more we begin to realize it's not actually about death at all. The 23rd Psalm was not written or intended to be a funeral dirge, but a celebration of the living. It's written about life, not the afterlife. It's written about this walk and this journey through these days on this planet Earth. It hopes for, it imagines an end, but it takes into account the reality of where we are. Listen to it again and try to think about it differently. Just erase from your mind for a moment that this is about death and funerals. And try to hear it with fresh ears, assuming that it is actually about life lived well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. That's a slightly different translation than perhaps what you're used to. You might have been expecting it to say, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And while that is a biblical reality, that's not the reality that they're celebrating here. The words there that are used really could be translated for a long period of days or for length of days. But the best way to understand it is this. For the rest of my life. I'm going to stick with you, Lord, for the rest of my life. That all of my days, I'm going to be in your presence. The house of the Lord. The house of the Lord, I think, is more than just a physical brick and mortar place. It's a state of mind, a state of being connected with the Holy Spirit within the temple, which is your very body, the scripture says. And so, every day, the psalmist says, I'm sticking with this guy. I'm following this one. I want to be with him no matter what. And the listing here of what he's going through is just like the ups and downs of your life and mine. Sometimes it feels like we're in these green pastures and everything is cotton candy and wonderful and easy. Sometimes it seems like we're back right there by the paths that are smooth and easy. Sometimes it seems like we're right by the streams of still water where there's no current to whisk us away, no rocks to crush our boat. And it's all okay. But in verse 4, the psalmist reminds us that Those days come and go. There's also darker days. Days where you feel like you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And it feels like everything is dark and wrong and everything is evil and gone bad. And you turn on the news and there's bad news. You pick up the paper and there's bad news. People call you on the phone to give you bad news. You go into work to learn bad news. But the psalmist says we walk through those darkest valleys. We don't fear evil. Why not? Because God's with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes God doesn't fix all of our problems, but He's there with us in the hurt and in the tears to guide us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And I'm going to stick with you for the rest of my life. These comics remind me of this psalm because I think that what is valuable in this psalm is to realize that life is full of bumps and easy moments. It's full of hardships and celebrations. And the key to it all, according to the 23rd Psalm, is to just let the shepherd guide you through all of this. And you can overcome failure. You can overcome obstacles. You can overcome valleys of shadow of death. As they say, some of the old timers say, when you're going through, the Lord is with you to comfort you and guide you, to strengthen you. The title of this sermon is Cartwheels and Front Flips. And I already told y'all there will be no demonstrations of this. But it comes from an experience I had when I was a kid, and I can't remember how old I was. I wasn't quite in middle school yet. We were still living at the farm in Hogwaller. That's a real place for those of you who are new here. And I decided in my mind one summer that I was going to learn how to do a cartwheel and a front flip. I had seen this other kid in my school who could do both. He could actually do back flips and front flips and all kinds of somersaults. And I decided, he's my age and about my size. If he can do it, I can do this too. And so I waited until my daddy plowed the back field because I figured that would be soft ground in case I fell, you know, just in case I didn't get it right away. And so once he did, I started with the cartwheel. That seemed easier to me. And if you're not familiar with cartwheel, that's one of those things where you go over like this and you try to put your feet where your head's supposed to be and your hands where your feet are supposed to be and hope gravity does the rest. And so at first, I got up the gumption to do it and I put my hands in the right place. I'd seen him do it many times. And just as I go to make that fateful rotation, I hesitate. I was afraid. What if I hurt myself? What if I don't make it all the way around? What if I land on my head? And just that split second of hesitation calls me to do exactly what I feared I would do. I crashed to the ground. I got up, tried it a few more times, kept practicing. A couple of days later, boom, cartwheel. Man, I laughed out loud. I shouted. The dog looked at me with one head, with his ear turned to the side, as if to say, how'd you do that? I was so confident now in myself that I immediately said, okay, here comes that front flip. I backed up. I galloped into a full sprint. I found a spot that seemed right, and I launched my scrawny little body into the air, and just as I was mid-rotation, it seemed like everything stopped. And instead of keeping going, I just sort of stayed in this position. And like a meteor crashing to earth, I left a trench with my nose in that dirt. My nose was kind enough to find the dirt that had not quite reached the plow. And there I was, sitting there with my nose bleeding, big, filthy tears of mud coming down my face. And I said, I remember vividly saying, I quit. But then I started talking to myself out loud, because, you know, when you grow up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, you don't have a lot of other people around for chit-chat, much less motivational speeches. So I had to be my own Zig Ziglar in this moment, and I said, self, You did the other thing, you can do this thing. It's no different. You crashed the first time with the cartwheel. It just hurt a lot more this time. And so I tried and I tried and I spent the whole day trying. And guess what happened at the end of the day? No front flip. In fact, it was not that day. It was again and again and a whole season of agains. And sometime around the end of the summer, the day finally came where I ran and hit just the right spot. And I found a little bit of a slope to give me that much more room. And my feet and my face kissed the same air, and gravity did the rest. And boom, on the feet, flump, there I was. Landed that front flip, and I've never done it again. I just figured I'm a realist. Once was enough. But it left me as an adult thinking back through that experience, asking two questions. Why is it that I couldn't do the front flip the first time? I had all that confidence. I knew I was able to do things that I didn't think I could do. Why did it fail? But likewise, why did the cartwheel fail the first time? For two totally different reasons. You see, in the first, I was too afraid. In the second, I was too confident. I was too afraid or too confident, and both left me in failure. That I think that in life, in between the hesitation that comes from real fear and the impetuousness that comes from being overconfident, that somewhere between those two exists this wonderful space where obstacles can be overcome and goals achieved and dreams fulfilled. If we are too timid, we fail. If we are too confident, we fail. But if we can keep a balance between those, we can do all things. I think that what the 23rd Psalm teaches me about life is that it's not about this destination of eternity that matters so as much as it is the journey we're on right now. On this journey through the obstacles, through the valley, through the pain and the suffering, and knowing that since there is this great goal, we can be mindful of the fear of reality, that the world is dangerous and dark and bad, but also confident in our faith and the hope of the resurrection and the kingdom is coming. And the psalmist shows us that when we live in that space, we live well. We live fully. We live faithfully. We can take the shots and keep going. We can have confidence in Christ's ability to strengthen us, but we can also be very cautious when we come to the pit, or when we come to the cliff, or we cross the crevasse, or when we see the great torrent of a river that's just crashing boats left and right. We can take seriously those challenges and those dangers, but we also have the faith that leads to a confidence that we serve a God who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And that gives us hope. And hope leads to life lived rightly. Let us pray. Lord, it is easy for us to be discouraged by this world. But your word says you are like a shepherd, that you comfort us, you lead and guide us, you even pursue us, that you are with us through the valleys, that you are taking us somewhere, taking our lives in the right direction. We pray, Lord, for the faith to follow you and for all the days of our lives to say we will stick with you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In celebration and in joy, I invite you to respond to God's word as we sing together that old familiar hymn, Victory in Jesus. Again, we're going to take the last few moments after the postlude for our business meeting. But if you're a visitor with us, we are fine if you want to leave and slip out during that postlude to go out to eat, to be with your family, and enjoy this blessed day that God has given us. Before our postlude, would you receive this blessing as we go? May the shepherd lead and guide you, directing your paths through the dark points and moments, across the green valleys to the cool water, through each day of this life and into all eternity. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.